101.1 The Sports Animal brings you inside the fight game of the MMA.
Oh my God.
With a weekly one-hour show.
Whoa!
In the Cage MMA Radio.
Dude, this might be a bad idea.
Hosts Vince Ferrara and Tim Loy bring you a unique perspective from inside the sport. Vince is an MMA lead commentator cage-side at many events. Tim Loy is a former MMA organization president and current matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge.
To take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Get big-time national MMA interviews, pay-per-view recaps and previews, matchmaking, predictions, strong opinions, compelling content, weekly things you'll learn, and more on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Three-minute rounds. We're underway in Knoxville.
Here's Vince Ferrara.
In the Cage, MMA Radio 99.1, The Sports Animal, streaming at 99.1thesportsanimal.com and on the WNML mobile app, which is a free download, or on your smart speakers as well. Enable the Sports Animal function, and you can get to us every Friday night, our new night, 8 to 9 p.m. I'm Vince Ferrara. Thank you so much for joining us. Show number 2, 2021. As always, my co-host, he is the matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge, coming off of a successful show that we'll talk about from the Cotton Eye Joe this past Saturday a little bit later on. He is Tim Loy. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing well, Vince. I'm excited to get back to some UFC talk here. We've got a lot of fights on the horizon now.
That's right. They're back at Fight Island, and that means 2 show previews today. The UFC is back. They are pumping out shows this Saturday, next Wednesday, and then next Saturday in Abu Dhabi at Fight Island. So we got a lot to preview. No interview today because of the doubling up of previews. We're going to have a full preview of Saturday's Fight Island 7, headlined by Holloway versus Cater. And then next Wednesday's UFC show, which is Chiesa against Magny. So we will have full previews of both of those. And then next week we'll recap them and have a preview of UFC 257, which will be the return of Conor McGregor. So let's jump into our big 3 stories in the sport. And one, we'll start with that, Tim. The UFC back and in a big way. Give me your thoughts on our first of 3 in Abu Dhabi, Fight Island 7. What do you think of the card overall that we're going to see and just the UFC's return back on Saturday on ABC?
They've given us a good one to come back out of this extended break, I feel like, with a good main event. Max Holloway, Calvin Kattar is going to be fireworks. I really just don't see a way that fight doesn't deliver. Most likely 5 full rounds of great action. So that's a really good way to kind of hook your fans back in. Any fans that are, they're trying, you know, your fringe fans that you're, you know, trying to rope in from airing on ABC now, you know, that's a really good main event to put on ABC. And, you know, it's obviously got a very international flair, as do many of these Fight Island cards. And that's kind of something that we were expecting. That's what Dana White said from the beginning. You know, a lot of these guys that are not from the United States are going to be put on these Fight Island cards. And that's what we're seeing. Obviously, the co-main event is a battle of veterans with Carlos Condit and Matt Brown. That's a fight that as 2 OGs, you know, that you're a longtime UFC fans will certainly be familiar with. And that's another very interesting placement for that fight on ABC, you know.
Besides the fact that it is on ABC, which is cool, first time on ABC, they've been on network television before on Fox, but it's been a minute. Another thing I like about it is the time of the show. And then certainly, I guess it matches up with the time there in Abu Dhabi, but the prelims begin at noon and the main event is at 3 p.m. So there's not college football to be opposed by, and you avoid a large portion of the NFL divisional round playoffs as a head-to-head competitor. So certainly you're not 100% matching the same audience, but anything you can do to avoid going head-to-head with a National Football League, an absolute monster, I think is good business. And with it starting at 3, there'll be just a short overlap with that first game. And I think that's smart.
Oh, it's super smart. And, you know, We kind of got a little taste of those early start times at the end of last year, and I actually like it. I love pretty much, you know, being done with things by, you know, 6 o'clock or so in the afternoon. And, you know, you still got your evening if you want to, you know, watch something else or go out for dinner or whatever it may be. You're, you know, it's not like you're handcuffed to your TV till 1 a.m., which is real nice, especially my.
And Tim, we saw them avoid certain big college football games during the season. So I think they're doing a smart thing. So that's the first show. The second show will be coming up on Wednesday. What do you think of the main event in UFC Fight Island 8 overall?
Well, I like the main event. Again, Mike Chiesa and Neil Magny's a great fight. You know, that's a relevant fight at the welterweight division. Two guys there are coming in hot, but the rest of the card is a little bit, a little more lackluster. I'm not really complaining per se because it's midweek MMA. What do you want on a Wednesday card, you know? But again, a very international feel. You know, you're going to have a lot of fighters, European fighters, Brazilian fighters that your masses may not be so familiar with, but that doesn't mean we won't see some good fights.
Yeah, and that's been the case largely for the UFC. Even if they don't have big star power, they've usually delivered with either great finishes or just really quality matched up guys that have delivered the entertainment.
You hear now with that Wednesday card, will that be also an early start time? So like in the middle of the day on a Wednesday? Now that starts getting kind of interesting. No complaint from me, but I don't know how that does with you, you know, the rest of the public.
It's more than the middle of the day, Tim. It starts in the morning.
Yeah.
9 a.m. is when the prelims start. It'll be on ESPN and ESPN Plus. And then the same for the main card, also on ESPN at noon. There's a sports audience in the morning for all of those debate shows and everything, First Take and Get Up on ESPN. So there's a sports audience then. I think it'll be cool to see a midweek morning type of live sporting event, major sporting event happening. I think it's cool. I think you limit your competition, you get away from wrestling at night, which usually pulls some pretty good numbers. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's the main reason. I just think it's an opportunity with that audience, that morning sports audience, you get to take advantage of it. It fits the time in Abu Dhabi. I like what they're doing. Some 9 a.m. Yeah, starting on Wednesday for that show. Really good. All right, our second in our big three stories is the rest of the UFC calendar that we know of coming up. And the biggest one, of course, Tim, is UFC 257, which will round out this phase of Abu Dhabi with McGregor and Poirier. I know Conor McGregor is starting to talk more. I mean, for some reason, he's still talking about Habib. I guess those guys get asked about a lot of things, so they end up talking about a lot of different things. But Dana White says that he is motivated, is Conor McGregor, and we'll see what kind of work he is truly doing. What's your expectation for at least type of performance that we'll see from Conor McGregor in his return?
I think we're going to see a good performance. You know, it's been so long. There's been a good amount of buildup and anticipation for his return. And I think we'll see a really good performance as he gets ready to set up what I assume will be some sort of big run in 2021.
You would think. I mean, I remember last year there was this talk. He might have said it, that he wanted to fight four times in the calendar year.
That's true.
And that didn't materialize. Now, with shows happening every week pretty much, I think those excuses should be out the window now that he has settled in and there's not retirement. Or as long as he doesn't like drift into discussing boxing or looking into that and then wanting to come back at his convenience, just stay in the sport, just dominate it. He has the potential to do that, make big money, dominate MMA, and just live off of that incredible star power and attention you get.
Yeah, 100%. You know, we all know what got him here. It's certainly not his boxing prowess and things like that. I mean, obviously he's known as an MMA superstar, and yeah, I have to agree with you. You know, it's kind of a dance with the girl you brought.
No doubt. And so the rest of the card after UFC 257, I do like that card. We'll get into more of it next week's show. We got Hooker versus Chandler, Jessica I versus Joanne Calderwood, Amanda Ribas against Marina Rodriguez. I mean, just a really nice rest of that UFC 257 card, Tim.
It's solid, man. It really is. That's a legitimate pay-per-view offering, you know, and they've raised the prices as we talked about. So they're going to hopefully give us our money's worth, and it looks like they will. Hopefully we don't have any more, any late drops that would diminish the quality of that pay-per-view main card. But right now it's looking pretty good.
Yeah, in case you missed it last week, Dana White saying that those pay-per-views are going to jump from $65 to $70. And Dana White explained more about his, quote, surprise for those that pirate his shows. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the lightning round. But the rest of the schedule after that, we'll come back to Las Vegas at the Apex on February 6th. You've got Overeem versus Volkov in the main event there. Then February 13th, it'll be Kamaru Usman against Gilbert Burns, which has been delayed, and they'll finally do it hopefully on February 13th in Las Vegas. Then the UFC will continue on February 20th. The main event, Blades versus Lewis, another rescheduled main event that was supposed to happen late in 2020. Then on February 27th, the headliner is Reyes versus Prochazka. And then March 6th, it's the Blachowicz Adesanya champion versus champion fight. Then March 13th, another rescheduled main event, Edwards versus Chimaev. March 20th, Brunson versus Holland. March 27th, no main event slated there. April 10th, no main event determined yet. Just what stands out about the rest of the calendar after UFC 257?
There's a lot of very interesting fights that they've got on the horizon. One of the ones that just kind of, you know, jumped out to me is, Dominic Reyes, coming off of a title fight opportunity where he fell short. They're putting him in there with a very, very tough prospect in Jiří Prochazka, which is going to be one of those fights where I think it'll be a great fight, but it's very dangerous, I think, for Reyes. If he were to drop that one, then he kind of tumbles out of that title talk picture immediately, you know, and Prochazka is a guy that is very hot right now.
The one that's interesting to me is Usman and Gilbert Burns, because What is Usman after all this time off, and he doesn't have the emotion of the Masvidal fight. And then Gilbert Burns, who was on such a rise, he was skyrocketing with these spectacular performances. Does he pick up where he left off after his injuries that kept him from being able to fight? If those guys are at the top of their game, that can be a lot of fun, even though I would still give Usman the edge.
I would agree. I think Usman's the favorite here, and rightfully so. But you're right. The big question is, this fight was supposed to happen a while back, and, Burns tested positive for COVID. So what does Burns just come in with that same momentum? Just like you said, is he able to keep that up, or has this time off kind of set him back at all? Because he won't really be able to afford to not be at his absolute very best and have a chance to beat Usman.
Our third in our big three stories here on In the Cage MMA Radio, Vince Ferrara along with Tim Loy, weekly MMA show for an hour every Friday night from 8 until 9. We appreciate those of you listening wherever you happen to be. And don't forget, podcast on the way. It will be posted shortly after our show each week here on Fridays. And Valor Fighting Challenge, the only MMA show that happened around the country last Saturday night. All pro show, Valor Fighting Challenge 77 at the Cotton Eye Joe. Fun stuff. I was really impressed by the fights, by the venue, all the cautions and everything working together. From your vantage point, how successful was that show on Saturday?
Tell you, man, this was one of the shows that was one of the most difficult to see to the finish line that I've ever been involved with. From the fact that we had our show the night before called off because it was an amateur card, and with the mandate from the governor, we weren't able to do amateur fights until the end of the month. So, that was obviously difficult. And then to, meeting the safety protocols and the plans that we had provided with this, we put in our own safety plan to the state. This is how we're going to keep everyone safe. This is how we're going to, do social distancing. But so when you're typing it out, it sounds really easy, right? But whenever you've got to actually go out there and physically, execute it, it's there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of staggering of times, and it just takes more people ultimately to monitor everyone and make sure your fighters aren't wandering off into the crowd and the crowd's not wandering into the back. So it was definitely one of those shows that was very tough to pull off. But I feel like as far as the aftermath of it, I feel like we pulled it off pretty darn well. And it was, a good night of fights. We had submissions, we had knockouts, we had upsets, we had everything you could imagine, and it seems like the crowd had a good time. We managed to do our social distancing and still had a lively audience.
You ran through a number of descriptions of things that you had from that night. I'll add one more word that comes to mind: closure.
Yeah.
Hopkins King. There was no controversy. It was definitive with Greg Hopkins getting the strap.
Yeah, man, Greg looked really good. You know, this fight began very much like their original encounter, I thought, down in Chattanooga back in the fall. And that was with Jason King landing some very nice strikes, some very technical strikes, a head kick that kind of made the crowd ooh and ah a little bit. But also very much like the first show, Greg just kind of ate those and he just kept coming forward. He didn't really acknowledge that they were doing any sort of damage to him. We had some clinch exchanges along the cage that both guys had their moments in. And eventually Greg was able to get the takedown. He transitioned to his back, flattened him out and impounded him out. And that was all she wrote. And Greg Hopkins is the new Valor professional welterweight champion. So congrats to him.
That was a great sign when he came in 2 pounds under the limit. Yes. He's taken a lot of grief from people about his weight and weight cuts and things like that. I thought that was a clear statement of his seriousness in it. He didn't look like he carried too much emotion into that fight, the way he performed, and just looked in great shape, didn't look drained or anything like that. He seemed like in a good place mentally, just really impressed by Greg Hopkins in his preparation and his performance.
Me too. And, you know, it's one of those things where I think that Greg kind of has a bit of a reputation that precedes him as being, you know, he's a good time guy. He's, you know, he's at the shows every time doing commentary and having some drinks and doesn't necessarily watch what he eats all the time. But this one really seemed to get him dialed in. And you could tell just in the lead up that he was training much more seriously than he ever had for an opponent. And even, you know, and Greg's never going to be just like the Greek goddess or Greek god body. But you could definitely tell that he was a more svelte body composition this time. He definitely put in some work to make sure that he was going to be at his optimal condition.
And the vocal cords still work. The mouth is still there afterwards. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nick Martino had put a challenge to the winner of that. And he said, kiss my butt afterwards, yeah. Basically, just to clean it up. That's how you sell fights as well. That's Tim Loy, matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge. And by the way, February 5th, back at the Cotton Eye Joe on a Friday night, right?
Yeah, you know, this is one of those cards that it was easy for me because I more or less just moved the whole card that we just canceled from January 8th over to February 5th. That's a good thing for the fans because we have 5 big title fights on that amateur showcase. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, and make sure you follow Valor Fighting Challenge on all their social media accounts, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. Follow them and you get all the latest on all those great fight and things that develop along the way. It's MMA, of course. Things will probably change along the way, but still, awesome show on Saturday and another one coming in February. That's Tim Loy. I'm Vince Ferrara. The UFC is back. We'll preview UFC Fight Island 7 next on In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Channel.
Now it's time for In the Cage MMA Radio's weekly marquee interview, letting you hear from the personalities inside the sport. In the Cage.
If you want to run away with me, I know a galaxy and I can take you for a ride. I had a premonition that we fell into a rhythm where the music don't stop.
Welcome back to In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal. How are you? Happy New Year. It's our second show of 2021 as we're here on Friday nights now, our new night, 8 until 9. Make sure you tell all your friends about the weekly MMA show on the radio in Knoxville, Tennessee. You can follow me on Twitter at Vince Sports. Tim, find him on Facebook, Tim Loy. You can find all of our podcasts on our website at 99.1thesportsanimal.com. You can go to the show tab or the audio tab and you can find all of our archive podcasts there, or you can always go to wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Apple, whether it's Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts at, just search for In the Cage MMA Radio, subscribe. It'll be updated every time we post them shortly after the show, and you never miss a show and get you ready for what's happening in the world of MMA, both nationally with all the major promotions and then obviously regionally as well. Let's jump into our first of two UFC fight previews with events coming up Saturday. And then in the next segment, we will preview what's happening on Wednesday with that UFC Fight Island 8 show. But UFC Fight Island 7, Saturday night, again, it will be on ABC and ESPN Plus, and it begins the prelims at noon and then the main card at 3 p.m. And Tim, the headline, and we'll always start there with the main event, is the number one ranked featherweight contender in Max Holloway at 21-6 against a sixth ranked contender in Calvin Kattar. Holloway 21-6, Kattar at 22-4, two of the better fighters in the world. And you use the key term, I think, action, when it comes to these two. What are your expectations of this main event?
Yeah, like you just said, I think action. I think it's going to be one of these fights that we get all five rounds of war, and it'll be one of those early pace setters, if you will, to start off 2021 is like the fight to live up to as far as fight of the year contender. I'm going to go ahead and call that right now. I think that both these guys don't know how to do anything but throw massive volume. And if you look back, you know, Max Holloway, of course, two consecutive fights against the current champ, Alex Volkanovski. A lot of people thought he won that the last fight, and that he should be your featherweight champion in the world right now. I actually thought he had an argument to win that fight for sure. But as it is, he's coming off a two-fight skid to the current world champion, Calvin Kattar, two in a row. To the good, though, Jeremy Stephens, Dan Ige, both tough outs, and he took care of business of both those guys. This will be the most high-profile fight that he's had. And I believe he's up to the task, man. This is one that I really have a hard time calling a winner. I think that just because of the back class, you've got to make Max Holloway the rightful favorite. But Kattar just throws so much volume, so much accuracy. His boxing's so good. He's so big for the weight class that he's going to be really hard to overcome, I think. And, you know, Kattar is a guy that just gets just much like, you know, Max Holloway. You know, the story on Max is like he gets better as the fight goes along. Well, Kattar is much the same guy. He's a guy that gets better as the fight goes along. And so I think once we get to rounds 3, 4, 5, you can really expect business to pick up.
You know, as much as we've talked about Max Holloway through the years, it's crazy that he's the younger fighter of these two.
Yeah, no doubt. That is wild.
He's only 29 years old. Do you feel like, as much as we've talked about him, like he's at the end of his career or something?
Yeah.
Now, maybe he's taking damage like a much older fighter, but it's crazy that he's so young. The reach advantage goes to Calvin Kattar as well. And I just wonder how much that chin of Holloway is a factor for him to maybe to withstand some of those bombs coming his way from Kattar.
I think that's a great point, honestly, because, you know, Holloway is a guy that, you know, he's durable. You know, he's not a guy that gets knocked out, but eventually that will end, one would think. And Kattar is just trending up. He seems to be getting better and better and better every time you see him fight, you know? So, man, he just throws so much volume. And Holloway is not really the guy that is just like moving a whole lot out of the, like he absorbs a lot of he absorbs a lot of punches. You know, don't quote me here, but I heard a stat that over his last two fights alone, he's incurred well over 500 strikes.
Wow.
Because those were both five round fights, you know, and so like that in his last two fights, that's 10 rounds of damage he's incurred. And it was something that was just a very mind blowing number to think that he's absorbed that many blows just in his last two fights.
You're right that it's a huge volume number on Holloway recently. Throughout his career, though, Max Holloway was a guy with still pretty good defense, even in standing in front of you. He's actually absorbed fewer strikes per minute than Calvin Kattar by about 2 per minute. Kattar takes 6.46 per minute. Holloway 4.45 per minute in absorbed strikes. Strikes landed, it's Holloway who is more of the volume puncher in terms of strikes coming back the other way. You hit on the key with Kattar. With Kattar, it's the accuracy of his punches. And that's where maybe because Holloway has eaten so many of those shots and the accuracy of Kattar, where it's not like what the career numbers are, it's more of a shorter term sample size that could be a difference.
Yeah, you're 100% right. You know, this is so much a what have you done for me lately kind of sport, you know? Right. And so, you know, it's one of those, you know, Kattar's a guy that just when you watch him fight, it is one of the very first things that jumps out at you is like, man, this guy just fires right down the middle with such pinpoint accuracy on everything he throws, and he's throwing so much of it, you know. So, I mean, I don't think we got to worry about either of these guys not bringing it Saturday and giving their all to put on a great main event.
By the way, last thing on this, and we'll move to the rest of the card. Holloway said that he doesn't feel bad about the Volkanovski loss, the last one, because he said 80 to 90% of the world feels like he should have won the fight. I don't know. I agree with that.
Yeah, that may be a little bit skewed, huh?
Just a little bit. So, official prediction, let's put it on record. You going Max Holloway?
Oh man. No, I'm not. I'm going to go Calvin Kattar by decision.
I thought you might go with Holloway, but I'm going to go with Calvin Kattar also. Can Kattar keep from Max Holloway if he decides to try to take Kattar down, try to mix some of the wrestling in? Kattar didn't have a submission. It's not really his deal. Is that right? Sort of a difference maker in the fight also? Maybe he doesn't get to that point, and if it goes a distance, I'll go with Calvin Kattar as well.
Yeah, I don't think that, you know, Holloway, not saying the Holloway won't go for takedowns, but it just seems like, you know, he wants a war. This fight has kind of lived up, or is not lived up, but has had the reputation in the lead up to as being just a throwdown battle. And I think that Holloway is the kind of guy that wants to please the fans.
Our co-main event on this card, Carlos Condit against Matt Brown, two massive veterans. Condit, 44 fights in his career. Matt Brown with 37, north of 80 for those two combined in a welterweight scrap. What do you think of these two vets getting together?
I like the matchmaking because it's two guys that are towards the end of their careers, and they're not putting either guy in with someone that's just going to absolutely maul them because they're near 40 years old, you know. Matt Brown, I think, is probably going to be the more well-rounded fighter. He actually has a very good ground game, but he's slowing down so much at this point that I think he's going to rely on his power more than anything. He's still got that power. And if he gets into a striking battle with Carlos Condit, who last time out against Court McGee, we saw he's still got that speed. He's still got that accuracy. If you don't just take him down and maul him on the ground like these power wrestlers have been doing, I think that he will have the speed to win a decision or a late stoppage potentially over Matt Brown.
I like Carlos Condit. I think he's going to finish Matt Brown. I haven't seen Matt Brown successful or the way he was at the prime of his career in a while. Carlos Condit still, although he's not what he was at the prime of his career, he's a lot more competitive to me. So I like Carlos Condit to win on a finish.
Well, I also think Carlos Condit has just been fighting. They've kind of thrown Carlos Condit to the wolves, you know, like Carlos Condit. With the exception of Court McGee, which he won his last fight against. But before that, Mike Chiesa, stifling ground game. Alex Oliveira, stifling ground game. Neil Magny, another very tall, rangy guy with good jiu-jitsu. Damian Maia, another great, one of the greatest BJJ practitioners in the world. Like, they're putting him up with guys that are not stylistically good matchups for him.
That's a good point. The rest of the main card, Santiago Ponzinibbio taking on Li Jingling in a welterweight bout. Quick thought on that one.
It's a good fight, man. It's been over 2 years since we've seen Ponzinibbio, but, you know, he was on a really hot streak. I think he'd won 7 in a row before he had an injury that took him out for the last 2 years. But he beat Neil Magny last time out, knocked out Neil Magny, which is tough to do because Magny's very durable. So I think Ponzinibbio is the prohibitive favorite, as he should be, but 2 years out is a long time out. We haven't seen him in so long. We have been seeing the leech, Li Jinglang, and we know he's got that one punch knockout power. So I think Ponzinibbio is the rightful favorite. That's my pick, but Li has got really good power, and it wouldn't surprise me if he stuns him here in this one. But I think Ponzinibbio is the favorite, and a win from him will immediately put him right into the talks at the top of the division.
Joaquin Buckley against Alessio De Chirico Paisan in a middleweight bout. Just a quick thought on Buckley, who's gotten a lot of attention lately.
Yeah, Buckley's the guy they're trying to build here. I think ultimately we are building towards that James Krause fight. I think they're just kind of wanting to let it simmer a little bit and build a little bit more heat before that could ultimately be maybe a co-main event type fight, I think. Dechirico is not too dangerous anywhere, but he's super durable. So this may be an opportunity to see Buckley get some rounds in. My pick's Buckley here, probably by decision, though, because Dechirico just doesn't really get knocked out very often. But he's also just so... his output is very low, and so I think that is one of those fights where like he could get stunned, but I think this fight might not be as exciting as what everybody thinks it will be.
Battle of undefeated prospects in Punahele Soriano at 7-0 against Dusko Todorovic 10-0 middleweight bout. Two guys that still have a ways to go to get into the ranking conversation. But what do you think about these two undefeateds battling?
I'm a little surprised that they're putting them against each other at this point in their careers, because they're both prospects I know that the UFC would like to build. My pick here, I guess, is going to be Dusko Todorovic, but I think Soriano has definitely got very good power and could obviously land the knockout at any time. He's been out a little bit of time himself, though, and so I'm going to go with Dusko here. But again, both these guys got a lot of talent, and I'm kind of surprised that they would derail one of them this early.
Undercard, Nassodorin Imavov against Phil Hawes in the middleweight bout. Wu Yanan against Jocelyn Edwards. Edwards comes in that flyweight bout replacing Betch Kohea, who had an injury and a surgery. Heavyweight bout, Justin Taffa against Carlos Felipe. Welterweight bout, Ramazan Imaev against David Nwanda. Sarah Morass against Vanessa Mello in a women's bantamweight bout. In the featherweight bout, VFC alum Jacob Kilburn taking on Austin Lingo. What do you think of the undercard?
Undercard obviously is a little bit of a drop off from the main card, but there's still some interesting talent. Phil Hawes, you know, we saw him make his UFC debut on the undercard of UFC 254 on that Khabib and Gaethje card, and he got a knockout win in just seconds. So that's a guy they're high on. Training partner John Jones, you know, so that's a guy, you know, to keep an eye on. And then Wu Yanan and Jocelyn Edwards, I think, is actually kind of a sleeper fight for a fight of the night type exchange, because I think both those ladies are going to brawl and they're going to throw for all 15 minutes.
That's Tim Loy. I'm Vince Ferrar. We'll preview the second of the two UFC shows in the next week, UFC Fight Island 8 on Wednesday. We'll break it down next on In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, The Sports Animal.
What big events are coming up in MMA?
Well, right now, Vince and Tim have the answers.
This is the pay-per-view and MMA show preview on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Welcome back to In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, The Sports Animal with Tim Loy. I am Vince Ferrara. Let's break down UFC Fight Island 8. The main event is 8th-ranked welterweight Michael Chiesa against 9th-ranked Neil Magny. Chiesa at 16-4, Magny at 24-7. How do you see this main event, sir?
I like the main event here. It's a fight that, I'm a little surprised we haven't already seen him. Neil Magny's a guy that, you know, he had some time off after the loss to the aforementioned Santiago Ponzinibbio, and that was back a couple years ago. And then he was gone for about a year and a half, came back at the beginning of this year, and gets two quality decision wins over Li Jing Lang, who will be on the undercard of the Saturday event that we were just talking about, and then over Anthony Rocco Martin. So, he also got Robbie Lawler, too. Right. He actually had 3 wins in 2020. Yep. So all of them decisions, but all of them over pretty good competitions. Neil Magny is a guy that he's a stalwart of the division. You know, he's a tall, rangy guy, not always in the most exciting fights because he's very calculated and he uses his range and he doesn't finish a lot of guys. But Mike Chiesa is another guy that's been hot. You know, he was down at 155 for a while, and that weight cut he was struggling with that weight cut. And he moved up to 170. And I was like, man, this guy's going to be way too small at 170 to be any good. But man, he got huge, and now Mike Chiesa is like a monster at 170. He's massive, really. And he also is on a 3-5 winning streak over Rafael Dos Anjos, Diego Sanchez, Carlos Condit. So, the first of those two names are a little beyond their prime. But the win over RDA, I think, is a solid win, and that was the last time out. So it's going to be a year at this point since we've seen Mike Chiesa. I lean towards Mike Chiesi here, but at the same time, I think Magny is very live dog. He's just such a salty vet, and he's very calculated. The fight IQ on both of these guys is very good. So I think we'll see a 5-round, very technical, calculated bout.
Both of these fighters, the last time they lost was in 2018. You mentioned the loss to Ponzinibbio for Magny. Anthony Pettis was the last loss for Chiesa. I think with Neil Magny, it's a little deceiving. People are like, oh, they've been decision wins. I don't know how close any of those fights were, Tim, that they've gone to decision.
That's true.
Just because he went to the judges' scorecard doesn't mean he wasn't in total control and dominated his opponents. I like Neil Magny. I think he's continued to get better. I think he's not quite the underappreciated like Oliveira is, but I think he's in that category of guys that don't get enough credit because he didn't have the spectacular finishes. He's getting better. I think he wins this fight, but again, by decision, even if he has the better of Chiesa.
Yeah, I can see it. No doubt. You know, he's gotten very good at making use of his long range and his frame. He's got good takedown defense. If he doesn't want to go to the ground, then we could get 5 rounds of him, you know, pecking Chiesa apart from range, which is certainly an avenue to victory for him. I think if it goes to the ground, then Chiesa begins to potentially have some, he's more aggressive on the ground. He's going to be going for things more often and potentially could sway the judges on the ground. But the bookmakers have this fight at a very closely lined Magny -130, which is negligible. They're calling this more very close to a coin toss fight.
Rest of the main card, Warley Alves against Munir Laziz in a welterweight bout. Featherweight bout, Lerone Murphy against Douglas Silva. A women's flyweight bout, Roxanne Modafferi, the veteran, against Viviane Araújo. And then a light heavyweight bout, Ike Villanueva against Vinicius Moreira. What stands out about the rest of that main card?
The co-main event is still interesting because Warley Alves does have a good record, and he's a guy that, last time out, he lost to Randy Brown, which I don't think is a very good loss. He does have some good wins on his record against a very talented grappler in Sergio Moraes, to probably his best win. But if you go back to 2015, he actually beat Colby Covington, you know, which is really kind of a head scratcher. But, yeah. I think his opponent, Munir Laziz, he was – if you recall, he was brought in to kind of be the opponent to the returning Abdul Razak Al Hassan, who'd been out for like 2 years on that charges for the domestic assault, I think it was. And so he was supposed to kind of be the lamb to Al Hassan's return, but he upset the apple cart and ended up exposing Al Hassan and beating him. And so he's got a little bit of shine behind him right now. I think that fight's interesting. And, obviously the female fight on the card, Roxanne Modafferi and Viviane Araújo, I think that's an interesting one. Anytime you see Modafferi fight, just because she's such a different type fighter, so unorthodox, you know. Last time out for Araújo, she got a very dominant decision win over Montana De La Rosa. She had her bloodied up, remember? So I think Araújo is, the one that they're looking to build here.
Well, the undercard, there's still lack of notable names. There's a few. Tyson Nam is on there, his fight against Matt Schnell in a flyweight bout. He had some other prospects on there, but it's really not one that's loaded with names, recognizable names for the more casual fan. Are there any of those matchups to you that are noteworthy, or even individual fighters that you're keeping an eye on and keyed in maybe a little bit more?
Tyson Nam and Matt Schnell is going to be a good fight. That's a good action fight. Both those guys really bring it. They're both quick, and they're both guys that have got some power in the flyweight division, you know. So I actually think that that's a kind of a main card worthy fight, comparatively speaking to some of the main card fights I see on this card. But also just of note, Ricky Simone's on this card. You know, that's a guy that was kind of climbing up towards the bantamweight contendership for a moment, I think. And so he's an interesting prospect. And then besides that, man, we saw Sue Mudarji, he's back, and he always puts on exciting striking exhibitions, you know. So, I mean, there's some guys and gals on this card that, you know, to kind of make sure you catch their fight, but there aren't a whole lot of fights that are going to move the needle, if that makes sense.
Sumo Dersey was going to be the name other than the Nam Snell fight that I was going to bring up, and 13-4 record, but just was so impressive when we saw him late in 2020. So it's a short.
He had a big knockout, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Quick finish. This is an opportunity for some of these international fighters to make a statement and stick with the UFC.
Most definitely. And I'll need to look into Mason Jones more, but I had to guess he's probably a Cage Warriors stalwart over there. And so a lot of those guys are real froggy, man. And Mike Davis is known as to be a hitter as well. So that actually could be a sleeper fight for a lot of action. And one other one to touch on, Dalcha Lungambula, he's a very impressive kickboxer striker, and he's taken on a character in Marcus Perez. You know, last time out, Marcus Perez, he was dressed like the Joker. He had his face painted up. It didn't end up going his way, if I can recall. He lost that fight, but at the very least, we might get some entertainment value.
And remember, this was the card that was initially slated to be Leon Edwards against Khamzat Chimaev. And of course, that one has been pushed back due to COVID-19. So
that sure could use that fight right about
now. Absolutely. Absolutely. Not in place of Chiesa Magni.
Both. We just need them both.
Exactly. To bump that one to a co-main, which I think is a more natural fit for it. So UFC Fight Island 8, watch some UFC, some MMA Wednesday morning starting at 9 a.m. on ESPN and the main card at noon. All right, it's lightning round time, the MMA lightning round presented by Knoxville Martial Arts Academy, with more news and notes from around the MMA. Some things that Dana White has said. He always has interesting things to say, and he's got opinions. We'll share some of those next on In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal.
There's still a lot of MMA to tell you about and react to. Since we're short on time, we'll have to make it quick. But we promise it'll be good. Here's the MMA Lightning Round on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Guess I never had a love like this. Hit me harder than I ever expected.
Welcome back to In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal. It's lightning round time, and the lightning round is powered by KMAA. They offer classes at KMAA for children. They have classes in self-defense, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, MMA, personal training, kickboxing, yoga, and martial arts. From the in-depth training at KMAA, many of the students have catapulted themselves into pro careers in the UFC, Bellator, and Invicta fighting promotions. They're really proud of that. They will help you achieve your goals, even if that's not what your aspirations are. Call them, whatever your goal is, at 865-771-9775. You can visit their website as well at knoxmma.com, and they are located at 4201 Martin Mill Pike. With Tim Loy, I am Vince Ferrara. Tim, we mentioned this a little bit last week, that Dana White has promised a surprise for those that pirate those UFC pay-per-view events, and Dana White had some really strong quotes this week. He said, quote, "And I can't wait to catch you. Got a surprise for you M blankers this year." He said, "We've been one of the leagues that's been so proactive on piracy." He said in an interview with the Mac Life, he said, quote, "I love how cool and tough these guys act on social media, because they, let me tell you what, we've caught a lot of people. Let me tell you what they do. They cry. They cry and they beg not to be prosecuted and all this other stuff. We just overcame a huge hurdle in the piracy world. We're going to catch some of these guys in 2021. And I look forward to the crying and the begging. We'll see how tough they are when they get caught." Look at Dana White threatening all those that pirate a pay-per-view. What's your reaction to that?
Oh, wow. You know, well, you know, I definitely get where he's coming from, as, you know, someone that, you know, it's all we can do to get our crowd to not live stream our events just like directly from our shows. And so, you know, obviously on a much smaller level than the UFC, I understand his pain. And so it'll be interesting to see what they've got in place and what stop gaps they've got to put a halt to that kind of thing, because it's pretty widespread. I think it's going to be tough to just completely eradicate.
And it'd be interesting to see if they have something to be able to track those down, if that's something that they can be sort of a trendsetter for others to use for their pay-per-views as well, to stop that area and make sure they get that revenue. Another thing that Dana White has talked about happening is meeting with Habib Nurmagomedov in Abu Dhabi and Fight Island. He says the meeting will be 5 minutes. Quote, it's yes or no. Do you think that's how the conversation is going to go, Tim?
I'd say that Dana will give Habib a little more courtesy than that, right? You know, but I guess as far as how long it will take for Habib to communicate, you know, which way he's leaning, I'd say that could be quick.
Tim, awesome job as always. Enjoy the return of the UFC. Break it all down, including a preview of UFC 257 next week, my man.
Looking forward to it, Vince. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. That is Tim Bloy, matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge. I'm Vince Ferrar. It's in the cage, MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal. Good night.
Thanks for listening to In the Cage MMA Radio as Vince and Tim bring you inside the fight game of MMA with this unique weekly one-hour show. Join us again next Wednesday night, 8 to 9 on 99.1, the Sports Animal.